And onto now alternate art perspective review.
This one isn't really alternate because it is pretty. It's pretty mainstream in that.
You're covering mass.
Wait, it's Alfred Pellin, who is a significant figure in Quebecois and Canadian art history. It's an exhibition that's at the Université de Montréal, which is a major sort of institution on the Canadian landscape. So it's really tough to call it alternative, but it is the sort of thing that it is an extremely obscure gallery. It's the sort of thing I have never been there before, and I found it quite fascinating. Just to get that out of the way, it's at 2940 Côte Saint-Catherine. It's in the Faculté d'Aménagement, which is the management school, and it's down in the basement, and it's actually the first time that I'd ever been in the new quad of Université de Montréal.
So it's hidden away?
Yeah, it's hidden away. It's really tough to find it. And plus, on top of it, that whole... Like, you know how there's the Université de Montréal that's around De Selle and Edward Montpetit?
Yes.
And there's a whole part of Université de Montréal that's in between Edward Montpetit and Côte Saint-Catherine. Mm-hmm. That is... I'd never been there before. And boy, does it smoke all... Like, it's got a bunch of new buildings, and it's all, like, nicely landscaped and stuff like that, and they put some thought into it and so on. And it smoked Concordia and McGill's new stuff something fierce.
Wow.
Although that might be just a little bit biased because it is new, and I'm always a big fan of the new. And so by the 17th time I get there, which is unlikely because it's the sort of thing it is on Côte Saint-Catherine, right at, just before Côte d'Neige, it's not likely, or it may take me a while to get there 17 times.
So right now it's located
2940 Côte Saint-Catherine is the building that has the gallery inside it. It's the Faculté d'Aménagement, which is the management faculty, and down in the basement is this gallery. And the gallery itself is quite cool because when we got there, there was power failure. And after trucking all the way across the mountain, it's the sort of thing where, oh my God, it's a power failure. They closed the gallery. We're not, so what do? We twiddle our thumbs for it, and in 30 seconds, the lights went back on. Very, very cool. But anyhow, Alfred Pellin. Alfred Pellin, I've discovered him because in 2005, his widow, who is now dead, she died, I think, about a week and a half ago or so. She had donated a whole whack of art to the Musée des Beaux-Arts because they'd already, at the Musée des Beaux-Arts National du Québec up in Quebec City, they'd been collecting Alfred Pellin since day one. And I think the Musée des Beaux-Arts here didn't have quite a collection, so she decided she was going to give them a bunch of art as well so that they could beef up their Pellin collection. And as a consequence of getting all this Alfred Pellin art, they put on a exhibition of all his prints. He was known for doing a lot of prints and stuff like that. And I went and saw it and was completely blown away. It took me 3 days to pick my jaw up off the floor. It was so phenomenal and spectacular. And so since then, I've been a big fan of Alfred Pellin's. And the reason I'm a big fan of Alfred Pellin's is because it looks like he took lots of drugs. It's the sort of thing where he's like colorful all over the place. He's not quite surrealist, not quite abstract, not quite figurative. He's just in between everything.
Was he influenced by those movements at all?
Yeah, if you want, I can do the whole bio thing. He was born in 1906, died in 1988. He lived in Paris from 1926 to 1940, hung out with Picasso and Dali and all those dudes. He actually was in a couple of, I think one, maybe two shows where they were all together and stuff like that while everybody was alive, before everybody went big and became like global and stuff like that. He taught painting here in Montreal from 1943 to 1952, didn't like the director of the school, so got the director fired. I don't know if he took the director's job and stuff like that, but he did. And then the thing that I just found out recently is that you've heard of the Refus Global, right?
Yes.
He actually wrote something, was a signatory to a manifesto that came out in February of 1948 called Prism des Yeux, which is the eyes prism, which was sort of like a less contentious and less angry Refus Global. And so apparently it wasn't only the automatists that were pissed off at the world. There were other people as well. And I'm not going to have to go find this Prism des Yeux manifesto
and read it on there.
Yeah, and go find out what it's all about, because it seems like there's sort of like the A-level Canadian and Quebecois artists. and then they're the B level. And it's the sort of thing where Alfred Pellin, for the longest time, was a B level artist and sort of considered sort of secondary and not as influential, not as important, and stuff like that. But now that he's been dead for, what is it, 22 years or something like that? Or, yeah, 22 years, I think his time has come. Or it might be the sort of thing that since his... Oh, actually, no, that might be it. As far as just talking about pure commercialization, it's the sort of thing now that his widow is dead. By the way, he was 43, she was 23, they got married. He definitely not only did drugs, but had lots and lots of fun otherwise. But, yeah, now that she's dead, and so it's the lawyers that can make the money, I bet you there's a lot of Pellin stuff that goes on happening, because now that other people can make money off of his art, and yes... But that's me just being cynical about the way the art world works.
I was wondering about that link, about the surrealist link. I never would have thought anybody from Montreal
had
that connection.
Oh, yeah, no, you should see his house. It's his house out in Laval. He did a mural on it. He did murals on the inside walls of animals. And it's like, in French, the term is bestiaire, which then literally translates into bestiary, but it's more like a zoo.
It's more like a zoo.
Yes, it's there. When was the last time you were at Fofun?
Oh my gosh, that was during the summertime.
Okay, and you know,
so not that long ago.
In the back of Fofun, how there's a mural of animals.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
That's very similar to what's in Alfred Pellin's house. Mm. And as far as the style, it's Bertrand Lavoie, who was the artist who did those murals of the animals on the back of Fofun, was very, very influenced by Alfred Pellin. And so it's sort of similar, although there, Alfred Pellin, I don't think he used spray paint and stencils. I think he did everything freehand, where Bert used spray paint and stencils. Mm. And yeah, and so it's his stuff is all sort of like animals and playful and stuff like that. He was heavily involved into theater as well, and so he did a lot of set designs for theaters. One of his famous ones is Twelfth Night, which I thought was, because they only give the French translations of the Shakespeare plays, and so I thought it was Midsummer Night's Dream, but I was wrong. But yeah, there it's the one thing that I found fascinating is because I'd only been introduced to his stuff sort of like post 1940, which is all very hippy dippy and trippy, and would be extremely helpful to understand if you consume lots of drugs before going in to see it, because then it will make perfect sense. But there in this exhibition, which was organized by the Musée National des Beaux-Arts, Musée des Beaux-Arts National du Québec, and is probably touring, I don't know, probably to the Université de Montréal. But there they actually have some of his earlier stuff. And it's wild, because the way that they've got it set up, there is a complete and utter abrupt change from 1941. He was doing figurative stuff that was fairly easy to understand and sort of similar sort of in style to, I don't know what Matisse was doing at that time, sort of like a little bit sloppy as far as figurative and not really fine-edged and stuff like that. But then in 1947, suddenly, I don't know, maybe he drops some acid or something like that, and it just goes whoosh.
There's no indication of, in through his history, of what happened? Happened in his life that...
I'm going to have to go do some research.
Fascinating. Fascinating artist to learn
more
about.
Yeah, and there it's in terms of doing the research, there are two films at the NFB, one which you can see online about him, one which you got to go to the Robotech, yeah, the one on Saint-Denis, and then on Radio-Canada, they have two radio things about him. And so, yes, I highly, highly recommend this Alfred Pellin retrospective, because it's kick-ass. It's wonderful. It's amazing. Plus, I don't know if he's my favorite Quebecois artist, but he's pretty damn close. And the catalog is spectacular, and I'm slowly slogging my way through it, because it is very academic French, which is never a fun thing to read, but it's got really pretty pictures, which is half the fun. It's you'd like read a paragraph, you look at a picture, you read a paragraph, you look at a picture, you look at another picture, you go back, you read a paragraph.
Is this a permanent exhibit?
No, it's up until the 12th of December.
Oh, okay.
And that's the one thing about the Centre d'Exposition Université de Montréal. Mm. Their hours, they don't even do gallery hours. They do Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Sunday.
Okay. But at any time?
No, noon to 6.
Oh, okay.
But it is still...
Which is like gallery hours.
Yeah, but it's still... why don't they do it? Friday and Saturday is like, are there a bunch of Jews who are running it? I don't know. It doesn't make sense at all.
I don't get the joke.
I don't know that. Well, no, in terms of... if you... which one are... Which one? A very religious Jew. you close at sundown on Friday and you don't do anything on Saturday because that is the Sabbath.
I thought the Sabbath was Sunday. No,
it's no, 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 no. That's for the Catholics. That's for that's for the heathen.
The heathen.
The heathen. The not chosen ones.
I thought it was the whole weekend actually.
No, I guess
it's only just Saturday.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. It will Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. And so there you go.
Yeah, I should learn about my Jewish knowledge through you.
You have Jewish roots?
I'm sure I must.
Okay.
Don't we all? I think we all do. Somewhere we're all interlinked through a really great big Jewish pool.
Then if we're all Jewish, then how can we be the chosen ones? If everybody's chosen.
Aren't we all chosen?
I think you're chosen by your folks. I don't know if you're chosen by your religion.
But don't we choose our folks?
No, your folks choose
you. We're starting
you.
A whole other conversation.
Yes, exactly.
Anyway, and we're digressing. So thank you for sharing that information.
My pleasure. Everybody should go out and go see Alfred Pelle.
Pelle. Can you spell his last name?
P-E-L-L-A-N and Alfred as in Hitchcock.
Oh, right on. Okay. On that, we're going to go to a message. We're going to talk with you next week because you have... I know you've received a book in the mail from Europe, so I'm excited to hear more about it, but we're going to talk about that.
I'm going to have to read the book first.
Of course, yes, I know. It looks like a really great book. I can't wait to find out and learn more about it. So I'm looking forward to the next coming weeks. We have quite a lot of things to talk about, so thank you, Zeke.
I'll have to talk faster next time.